Roseburg, Seventh-day Adventist Church. I want to praise God again for the music ministry. What a blessing. It's clear to me that God invented music for his glory, and the fact that there's seven notes on a major scale makes an impression on my mind. Good, we've got that up. So, we know that God took a great risk. And I feel I'm taking a little bit of a risk because what he's done, I'm so grateful to this church and what it has impacted, how it has impacted me in my life. I remember coming here and just being very moved, as now, by the service here and Margie Cruz. Where are the Cruises? I got to know where they are. Okay, way over there. God bless you all. It's very simple, and I'm going to take a risk in making it complicated, but before it gets complicated, I'm going to guarantee you that the gospel is simple, and that we are put in this position so that we always will be able to grow and to share. So who are the messengers? Let me back up here because we didn't turn on the monitor. If someone could turn on the monitor, I'd appreciate that. I forgot to ask someone. Maybe I can do that really quick. It's worth it. We the messengers? God sent angels through the air, and aren't we to participate in that work? The angels, Jesus through us, as he works through us and his people, his creation, his law, his character, is that not a message? When we see what he has done for us, isn't that triggering a response that is just overwhelming? What is revealed? God's love. God's love, his law, Jesus, the personification of his law, and he is God's glory manifested as he gave that sacrifice. He laid down his life for us. And what is union? Union is a unit in plurality. Of course, you have more than one together, and you have a unit, a family unit. Mother, a father, an offspring. I won't get into defining the roles of the Godhead, and we understand that the Trinity is a Catholic-derived term that has some use, but the Godhead is the term used in the Bible. And who is love? Well, it's not God love. I will run quickly. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to delineate four steps in that verse. That God is love and he gives. He gave who? His son. It's the second step. Believe. Believe, I believe the instrumentality in our belief, in our faith, is the Holy Spirit through God's word. The Holy Spirit points to God's word, who is the word of God, his son, in person. And because of that, the fourth step is through that Holy Spirit function within us that we believe, it gives us eternal life, a gift from God. So if we leave here now, you can. You may know that it is as simple as that. I was hoping that somebody with a deep voice could read this, like Lyndon, but I'll go ahead and read it. A psalm of song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. But God has revealed to them unto us. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. To start with the messages in God's first book, is his creation. Creation was the first book that Adam and Eve ever had. All they knew was what God showed or is manifested in the living things that he created. I'm having a little trouble because I can't keep up with where is what. To start with, messages from God's first book. All right. So this is a little under construction, but I'm going to move quickly. The first day, what I'm going to do is correlate or connect the gospel with the days of creation. And then I'm going to connect them with God's 10 commandments. And I'm making the connection to the gospel, which is the three angels' message, which is essentially John 3:16. And I'm going to show you how the gospel is revealed in the 10 commandments. But first of all, in the creation days, the six days of creation. So I realize that's a big risk I'm taking here, but I'm going to go quickly and keep in mind that this is recorded. Have mercy on me. And that you can always watch this later at a slower speed. So day one, there was light, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What is light? 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:5, this is then the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So I put there as the first day is also, since God is light, it's also a knowledge of God. First John 4:8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. First John 4:16, and we have known and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So light is knowledge of God, and it's also God is love. This is the first day. Now, walking in love and light, but if we walk not in light, if we walk in the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now you are ye light, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. 2 John 1:6, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. The question for you all, is there a possible application to present day, to light? And as I was reading Christ Object Lessons a couple years ago, some of these things came out. A last rays of merciful light, last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory in their own life and character, and they are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. The gospel invitation is to be given to all the world, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Revelation 4:16, first angel's message, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach preach unto them that dwell in the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. The last message of warning and mercy is to lighten the whole earth with its glory. After these things, I saw another angel come from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. To reach all classes of men, rich and poor, high and low, go out into the highways and hedges, Christ says, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The last rays of merciful light, the last message of mercy to be given to the world, is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory in their life and character. They are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. Praise God. What is the biblical connection between light and love? I'm going to go back just a second. He that loveth knows not God, and for God is love. Agape love is a self-sacrificing love. As Christ did, we do for him. He died for us. I'll live for him. And we have known and believe that God has, we believe that love, that, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. All right. So there's an interesting connection of the three angel gospel message to the 6 days of creation. That's what I have suggested, and we're going to quickly go through that. The second day, Genesis 1, 6 to 8, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters from the waters which were under the firmament from the waters above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So the division of waters on the second day of creation. Third day, grass, earth, and trees. What is grass and earth and trees? We'll get to that. So what I'm going to suggest here is that these are 3 days which can represent the 3 steps of the three angels' message, and that these are also connected to God's law and have representations there. We have light, which is a knowledge of God, a firmament and a lifting up, a division of waters. Let's keep going quickly, and I will explain further. Lights for signs in the sky. Isn't this a repeat and enlarge? You see light, the knowledge of God on the first day, and on the fourth day you see light for signs. Day is a sun, a month is a moon, a year, you can figure out what year you're on based on the stars. Did you know that? Also the sun. Interesting how there's a connection there. I believe God is trying to speak to us from his word and show us how just a superficial knowledge, maybe not enough. Maybe we need a little bit more, and this will help to deepen our experience with him. Beneath were fish and birds above and below. You see a cutting off there. There's fish above and birds below. You see the inhabitants of the structure. And God completes his creation in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Are you seeing this pattern here put up? And essentially what this is the first 3 days of creation is the structure. And I'm not sure what this means yet, but maybe you can help me. There's a structure set up, a place in which light is the area where the moon, the suns, and the stars suspend. We know there's dark matter out there, and we know there's light matter, but everything that has matter is suspended somewhere among the light. Fish and birds inhabit the air, and fish inhabit the waters, that is. And you got what I mean. And you have the beasts and the cattle and the men. They inhabit the earth, the grass, the trees. The connection to trees is, remember the fig tree and Jesus' parable? He said that the fig tree, they were leaves of profession. They were professing their faith, yet they were not acting what they professed. So this is the, back here, we'll come back to this. And I remind you, it's not complicated. It's simple. It's the three angels' message. The first angel message contains four messages. Fear God. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him. And you see that there's a big clue. All right, I was behind there. You see there's a big clue on the fourth. Number four says, worship him. Isn't that like the Sabbath commandment? Fear God. We know that fear, reverence toward God is a process where we recognize our need of him, and eventually it becomes a fear of separation, a fear of sinning against God. Remember Joseph, how can I do this and sin against God? So he feared God, and he kept his commandment. This is Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee command thee, thou and my son, and my son's sons, all the days of my life, and all the days that may be prolonged. This is the instruction in Deuteronomy 6:2 and Deuteronomy 10:12. You can just write these down or watch it later. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of thee but to fear God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And so we see this quotation from manuscripts, first manuscript 44. The angel that proclaims the everlasting gospel proclaims the law. For the gospel and the salvation brings man to obedience to the law, whereby their characters are formed after the divine similitude, God's law, which is his character, which is his throne, is revealed in his law. And we worship him on Sabbath because we rest in the work that he has done in his creation. I know you're probably wondering, who is this guy? I've never been up here, and I am so grateful what God has done in my life for the miracles. I can attest that he's done, and for the work of this church and for every one of you. I know he has a plan for each one of you. And it's a special thing to be able to come here. It has affected me so greatly to participate in the worship here and its godly sacredness. And the many programs and ministries of this church, they have been such a blessing to many, myself. And just a little bit of a history. There it is. We came from, I was born in Loma Linda. How did we get here? Well, it's a beautiful hill far away, and here we are in a crimson fortress. If you don't know, Loma Linda means beautiful hill, and it is far away. And here we are at the Roseburg, so-called crimson fortress. You know, these verses, if you would read them while I stumble along, kind of my testimony here. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say to him, take away all my iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves or the fruit of our lips praise to God. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And whoso giveth praise glorified me, the Lord said. Praise the Lord, give glory to him. Worship him, for he is worthy. I'm very grateful to have very hardworking parents. My father was a member here, passed away in 2002. And that was one thing that really affected my turn in in a certain way, and I'm grateful for what God's done. I have two beautiful sisters. In 1977, we first came to Roseburg. 41 years ago, I was 10. You can do that. You remember the 1974 oil crisis? Many people were thinking, oh, what's going on? What do we do? And I remember that. We came here, and I was an uncle and had nieces when I was 3 months old. And I didn't really understand all that, but it was great having fun here being a 10-year-old. And I remember Margie and all these folks when I was 10. And a few years later, in 79, Dad bought some property, and the rest is history. In 1987, I went to UCC for a year and got all my basics done, you know, your English, Spanish, your English chemistry, and what all. It's a good idea for the young people. Go to a community college. You can save some money, stay close to home, and figure out what you're going to do in your next few months. I'm grateful for that opportunity. Sadly, I made a decision based on financials to go to a state college, and I received a Bachelor of Science in Electronics Engineering Technology from OIT in 91. I'm very thankful for that opportunity and for God and his protection through those times. I remember in my early life, my mother making recordings for me when I was, you know, 4, 5, 7 of the lessons and how, you know, the Sabbath school lessons, basically. And we would sing songs together. And I would play those, she would play those back for me at nighttime, and I would go to sleep listening to those lessons and singing those songs. And what a blessing that was. The Bible in Living Sound. Does anyone listen to the radio here in this town in the afternoon and hear your story hour on the Bible in Living Sound? That has made a big impact in my life, having discovered later on that many of those words and paragraphs and phrases that are used there are straight out of the conflict series of the Spirit of Prophecy. What a blessing to be able to, you know, for kids to have a dramatization. It's a great way to also to improve their vocabulary and their speaking capability, because it does develop that hearing and speaking capability, I believe. I'm very grateful for my mother and my grandmother from Brazil, and for Alexander Scorby. We had a radio station in Loma Linda. We listened to the Bible for half an hour every morning at 7 o'clock, and that was something else that made an impact on my life and protected me from a lot of silly things that go out there. And so I'm also a testament of those seeds that planted in the heart of young people. It really, when you get to a certain age, you realize the silliness of this world, and it gives you a sense of priority and mission, at least personally, and protection. It is an iron fortress in many ways. My grandmother was born in 1898, and she was 10 when 1888 occurred. The 1894 revivals in the United States, they were some of the largest revivals that occurred in the United States after this 1888 message of righteousness by faith. And this was something that really traveled worldwide. The information spread, and I believe it's what triggered probably the revivals in many countries around the world, I would say, including Brazil. A few years later, in 1906, my grandmother remembered Ellen White, and she was 17 at the death of Ellen White in 1915. My family from Brazil were very godly people. They were family Bible workers, 3 pastors, 1 university educator, 1 missionary, 4 church planters. A wonderful family in Brazil that I just don't get to see enough of. And I hope they are, and I know they are well. 42, my mother was when I was born. Isn't that strange? I think, wow, I was released from captivity after 42 years. I had a very godly minister who gave me Bible studies, and at 15 years of age, 82, I was baptized by a man whose name means the peace of God is Jehovah. He's from Iraq, a very godly man, Salim Elias. I'm very thankful for his work. And in 1987, the 3ABN activity was really interesting to me, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. How can I get involved? I wasn't really sure. After many years, I finally got a dish, 3ABN dish, for my mother as a gift. And that is something that really changed my life, to be able to see the messages that come through 3ABN and other channels that soon thereafter came about. They were a huge impact on me, and I really praise God for God's protection and helping me reconnect those dots. And I remember coming here in 2007. There was a Gladstone camp meeting in Gladstone, and David Gates there. Wow, David Gates, wow. He really impressed me. And in 2008, I got a duplicator, and I ran into this guy named Walter Weiss. I got some DVDs from Pastor Corwin. Where is he? Praise God for those DVDs. We made a lot of copies of those with our little duplicator. And you know, I was coming back to church in 2004 time frame, and it was something that really affected my life, and I praise God for his work. Something else I did is, you know, everyone's got one of these little technological devices. I got a hearing aid for my mother, and you know, my hearing aid is this thing. You might see me with these white things in my ear, and that's my hearing aid. I really consider it my comforter. It's like the Holy Spirit. It tells me to go there, you know. And I'll be in the middle of doing something, and I'll hear something, and I'll think, is God talking to me? You know, what a wonderful way, you know. It's really quite fun, in all seriousness. I really suggest you use the technology and listen, hook up to the Word of God, to the Spirit of prophecy. Ellen White was an inspired writer, and if you just listen to her, you'd be convinced that this woman knows how to cross-reference the Bible more than anyone else you can imagine. You look in the treasury scripture of knowledge and the cross-references in your Bible, the cross-references in your Bible on this phone, and I'm always amazed how she connects things in the Bible that other people don't see right away, you know? And it's really important. Get yourself one of these Ellen White study Bibles. You will see things that you never saw before, and it will change you. It's changed me, and I praise God. Quickly. 2009, I was privileged. I went to 5-day AFCO, Amazing Facts. What a blessing. If you can go there and spend 5 days, go spend a week down at Weimar, usually in June, every year. And just spend a week there. You'll get the 5-day plan on how to be an evangelist. Wow. Basically, that's what it is. The Amazing Facts College of Evangelism. Praise God for that. And if you get hooked, you might be there for 6 months. 2009, Lois, and I praise God for Lois and her Bible studies on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. I've, since coming back here in 2014, we've come every week to Monday, 10 o'clock, and it is a blessing if you can participate. If you can't, you know, maybe we need to start another one in the evening, and we need to study more here at church. It's a blessing to all get together, and we've studied many things, typically related to prophecy, also health, and Last Day events recently, and now we're looking at the Righteousness of Christ and the wonderful book by J.W. Lehman. His work at Loma Linda really affected my family as well. My aunt went to his meetings, and I remember she told me that after that she read The Desire of Ages. This is not a woman who speaks English, but she read The Desire of Ages in English. 2011, let's move on. But I'm very grateful again for the work and for this church. What's happened here with the Sabbath school lessons, we really need to be participating in the Sabbath school work. It is such a blessing, it's been such a blessing to review the lessons, to write notes in there, to read the Ellen White notes, and we need to eat this Word of God, and we will see things we never noticed before, and it will change you. I guarantee you, it's changed me, and he's not done with me. I'm so grateful for Dr. Ross, who is not an Adventist, and he started a work here through UC Veg of health. He discovered that Adventists have the wonderful CHIP program, which is pretty complete. He intended to do this to reach a broader scale of the community, and so he took out some of the religious themes, sadly. But on the other hand, we have reached more people in this community than we could ever have reached with our CHIP program with religious themes. And I believe people will understand sooner or later that this is work that God has taken into his own hands. It's not about our church. It's really all the churches in the community need to be growing. We have 80% of the people in this town, I believe, that do not go to or participate in any church whatsoever. And for them to come to a church and learn about health and then become enthusiastic about what they've discovered to improve their health, it's something that, like, they've learned the gospel, and they will share that, and they have shared it with their family and friends, and it's growing. Right now, there's a different opportunity soon. They will, UC Veg will be offering these health classes at the VA hospital, we believe, and praise God for that. Second angel's message related to cutoff instead of, why is that? Why was there a separation? You see what happened when God gave his son. God separated his son from his bosom. The son was in the bosom. And that separation was painful, kind of like a birthing experience. But it was forevermore a blessing. It was for the salvation of the world and the salvation of the heavenly kingdom that God could be determined righteous and merciful and just. There followed an angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Christ the righteous gave glory to God, not idols, at the cross. He was cut off, and the result, Satan's systems of government is fallen. Christ fulfilled the prophecy of the 70 weeks, providing the means to free sinners from captivity. Belshazzar was unrighteous and gave glory to idols, and as a result, Babylon fell, and he was cut off. You see, there's always some inversions here, and there's meanings here that perhaps we don't totally understand, but there's a definite connection to being cut off. Cyrus, the anointed, God's anointed, a connection to Christ, gave glory to God in fulfilling the prophecy to free the Hebrews after 70 years captivity. The language connection of number 7, to cut off. You see, Bible influences the English language, the Latin language, and the Greek language, as seen, for example, in the Septuagint. The word sever in English is connected to the word in Latin, which is septem, seten, seven, septem. Kind of like your nose, there's a septum, septum. That means there's a division. Sever is related to seven, which in the Bible is cut off in the middle or divided. And you see, isn't that the connection of the second day? There was a division of the firmament of the waters above and the waters below. There's a definite connection here. And I believe Adam and Eve, they probably could see the mercy of God and the messages that creation spoke to them about God's mercy and his gospel, his message of salvation. Looking back, they saw that as the gospel. And then the Hebrews, who had been lost in sin and captivity in Egypt, did not have that. And so they had that revealed to them through the word, through the Ten Commandments, ultimately, with the voice of God. Oop. Can you all read that? Boy. There's three phases of judgment, quickly. Did we do the three angels message? We got to do that. Okay. Third angel's message. We've read the verse. The issue is worship, and they do not have rest day or night who worship the beast. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. You see, here there's an investigation made, and they are found by investigation, they're determined, is displayed, manifested. They are patient saints that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This is basically revealing that there is an investigate, what we call a judgment investigation, an investigation of what people are doing after what occurred in 1844, when all the truth was really manifested, and a few years later, the Sabbath was revealed. We're not going to go quickly through the investigative judgment, but basically, if you could look at Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God, give glory to Him." The dead were judged. This is verse 15 of chapter 20. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found, verse 15, written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. So it was found, written, when determination was made, an investigation occurred. All right, we're going to skip this. So we have the Ten Commandments. Praise God, we have a nice display in the back of our church of the Ten Commandments. We see basically our duty to God on the left stone, and on the right, our duty to man. And this is true. And what I'm going to suggest, based on a Christ Object Lessons 128, the law is the gospel embodied. You see that? The law is the gospel embodied, and the gospel is the law unfolded. The law is the root, and the gospel is the fragrant blossom and the fruit which it bears. Somehow I came across this quote, and I thought, what? The gospel in the law is unfolded? What does this mean? And it occurred to me that there's some kind of pattern, and you unfold it kind of like origami, you know? And this is something that I wonder if anyone has seen. I don't know. So I'm suggesting there's a repeat and large here, because I see a connection with the fifth commandment and the first commandment. First commandment is fear God, give glory. Okay? The fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. You see there's a connection there to the fifth commandment. The sign of the covenant is the Sabbath. We rest in his work. I am the Lord God, which gave thee, brought thee out of Egypt into the land, house, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We were slaves to sin in Egypt. God set us free, delivered us from captivity, and we were born again. Baptism, daily death and resurrection, the Red Sea baptism. Do you see a connection here with the people coming out of Egypt in our new life? We were bound in captivity, and we come out of that life of sin, and God frees us. And what does it mean? It means that God loves us. He cares about us. And we can read about the agape love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves God is born of God. Verse 10, he loves us. He loved us, and he sent his son. Verse 18, perfect love casts out fear. So how can you fear God? You do that in the beginning, and he reveals himself to you, and you soon thereafter have an irresistible love for God, and he is seen to be irresistible. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So it's a process. Fear him is to love him. The second commandment, remember we talked about cutting off the division of the second day. There was a division of the waters above and waters below. In the second commandment, we have a reference to cut, because images were cut with, and they were carved with implements, and they were embodied manifestations. Embodied means also a separation. It becomes distinct and separate. Our appearance, anything that's heaven and earth or in water, the true image is Jesus, not the false image. And so we here have a direct contrary to who Jesus is, an image that you bow down and worship to, or the true, which is Christ. And he calls you at the foot of the cross. And he tells you, I did this for you. There is no other sensual, visual experience that you can have that is superior to what I give you. I laid my life for you, and I free you, because otherwise we are enslaved to sin. The Lamb is worthy. For I, the Lord thy God, am divinely jealous. Not a human jealous. This is a divine jealousy. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. This is the divine mercy that was revealed at the cross. I realize this is really small. So, glory, we give glory to God, not idols, at the cross. And Christ's righteousness versus our righteousness and trying to please an image. And the third is, do not take God's name in vain. Quickly, because this is basically a slight deviation, but Ellen White makes clear when you look up vain profession, the vain profession is what we do when we say something and we're not doing what we say. Don't we all have that problem? And we're spoken that, and how is this connecting to the Holy Spirit? We sin against the Holy Spirit when we profess and we do other than what we profess. We take God's name in vain by hypocrisy, making a profession of God's name by not living up to that profession. Those that name the name of Christ but do not depart from iniquity, as that name binds them to do, name it in vain, and their worship is in vain, and their oblations are in vain, and their religion is in vain. By covenant breaking, we make promises to God, binding our souls with those bonds to that which is good, yet perform not to the Lord our vows. And we take his name in vain. It is folly, and God has no pleasure in fools, nor will he be mocked. This is Matthew Henry describing the five categories of actions that constitute taking God's name in vain. And there are various quotes there where Ellen White discusses the making of profession. I looked up taking God's name in the writings of Ellen White, couldn't find, except that she discussed swearing, and foul speaking, these things which we commonly connect with taking God's name in vain. But the deeper significance is taking God's name, because really what we do when we are married to God, we take his name. We are called Christians because we are no longer the old man. We are married to Christ. And we are taking his name as Christian, not in vain. May it be for his glory. And you see the connection here with the day three. Day three is when the trees. And you have leaves of profession. Do we profess to take God's name? And do we fulfill God's requirement? And what's the connection to the law, taking his name in vain? This is the manifestation. Remember, the man who was blind says, I see men as trees. The Bible is really interesting this way. And what does this mean, that we see the three angels' message in the days of creation? The leaves of profession. What is the days of creation? 4 to 6 days of creation. These are the inhabitants of the structure. The sun, moon, and stars are inhabiting the light. The birds and the fish inhabit the waters above and below. The beasts inhabit the earth. The cattle among the grass. The man can live in trees, among the trees, in the forests, as the Bible, I believe, speaks. There's something here, and I haven't fully understood it, and will not discuss it. The sign of the covenant is the Sabbath, and we rest in his work. Notice I drew the four a little closer to the covenant, and I put a cross up there because the cross is saying that we are in union with God on this day. It's a marriage union, and we dare not take his name in vain. We wish to glorify him, not the idols, and we fear and love God. Is this not what he has done for us? He gave his son. He loved us. He gave his son. And we believe. And as a result, we rest with eternal life and a Sabbath for eternity. Do you see the connection? Faith. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How do you provoke a child to get upset? To love. How do you provoke love and good works? And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to every man according to his works, which is in connection with God in that marriage. Love is that self-sacrificing love. He was the Passover Lamb of God. This is the true motive for all of our actions. It is an irresistible love for the one who irresistibly loves us. Greater love has no man, Jesus, than this, that Jesus laid down his life for his friends. And he said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for servants knows not what the Lord does. So they do know. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And he promised to send the Comforter to do that very thing. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth to bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The nature of Christ was a combination of the divine and the human. Having all the attributes of God, he also represented the excellencies of humanity and showed that all who believe in Christ as their personal Savior will perfect a character after God's likeness and be qualified to become laborers together with God. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are his husbandry. Ye are God's building, or his temple, or his sanctuary. 1 Corinthians 3:9. You see how Ellen White was very right on with the word of God. Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe. Believe on him who he has sent. As the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it becomes omnipotent. Whatever is to be done at his command may be accomplished in his strength. His biddings, his commandments, are our enablings. They are the gospel. Friends, as Lemmy Beth plays the music now for the ending closing service, we managed to do it before 12:30. I want to put out to you that God is calling each one of us to do a work in our own lives. And he wants us to look to him, because it's the only way we can accomplish anything. He wants to give us the joy and happiness that only he can provide and fulfill our hearts and souls. Give us joy in being a means of sharing with others. This is what gives us true happiness. So before we sing the song, go to page 290 in your hymnals. I want to make a special call, because there is a need for witnesses, for spiritual seed planters. We need to serve him with his talents. He's given us these capabilities. And that is something that will cause us to rejoice in the Lord. We need to seek his word and will for our lives. And we need to fill up with the word of God in the spirit of prophecy. And that's the other part of the call, is that if there's anyone here who feels that God is calling you in a special way to further investigate these things, because this is a time of investigation. God's investigating us, and aren't we actually investigating God? Aren't we discovering what his goodness is, and his omnipotence, and his power to transform and do things for us that we could never achieve for ourselves? This is the living God that we serve. And he reveals himself very humbly in the Word of God? Why didn't he just show up as an angel and manifest his glory? Because he wants us to have an experience with him. And he wants us to grow like little plants, grow slowly to the sun. If there's too much sun, the plant will wilt. And it needs to have rain from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God. So I'm going to call you now. If there's anyone here who wants to look more and understand more into these things, we're going to look to start a Bible study here at the church. And we may study a standard series of Bible studies, probably TruthLink. We did that here once before, Pastor Corwin. And I want to praise God for the work of Pastor Tony and Sayuri, for their work here at this church, and for the Bible studies that they have here at their church, at this church. I believe it's in the afternoons on Wednesdays. These will go on, and they need to grow. So if there's anyone here, as we sing this song, I want you to come forward. Two things for Bible studies, and the other is ministry. I want to serve God. And this is a time when our church is having committees and we're looking for people to participate in ministries. And this is the time to come forward and say, yeah, I want to do something for God. He's touched me today and other days as well. And I want to be a participant here. Let's sing the song. Number 290. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, for the miracle of faith, of belief, the seed implanted in the heart, and how it grows into the truth. Father, I want to participate in that. And I ask that you would complete and do this work and to bring others and help us build your church. Help us to be faithful to you and to your word and to not take your name in vain, but be faithful in our knowledge and our growth and what you are doing and will complete and do in our life and those around us. Please be with us now as we depart, and teach us and help us to contemplate these things further. We thank you in Jesus' name.